Welcome to the Kansas Cyclist Podcast, part of the Kansas Cyclist website and the eRow Podcast Network, podcasts that inform by focusing both on the news and the people behind the news. My name is Edward eRow, and together with Randy Reza, webmaster of the Kansas Cyclist, we are your host for Episode 1 for Sunday, April 5th, 2009. In this episode, I'm going to interview Randy and have him talk about the genesis and the development of the Kansas Cyclist website. The Kansas Cyclist podcast provides news and information about bicycling in Kansas and neighboring states. The podcast is a new feature of the Kansas Cyclist website, which is found at www.kansascyclist.com. Links to the Kansas Cyclist podcast can be found at the Kansas Cyclist website and at the eRow Podcast Network on the web at epn.ero.com. In each episode of the Kansas Cyclist Podcast, we will recap news and information about bicycling, talk about upcoming rides, let you in on new trails to try, listen to feedback, answer your questions, and interview interesting individuals involved in bicycling here in the heartland of the United States. We welcome your feedback, so please write to podcast@kansascyclist.com and send in your comments or suggestions. Good afternoon, Randy. We are sure having some interesting weather this spring. Yesterday it was 70 degrees, and now today it is in the high 30s. And there's also, I think they're calling for a hard freeze. We've even had snow showers today. I know you went on a ride yesterday, and from your Facebook post that I saw, it sounded like it was quite windy and really did you in. And I talked to some others that were out biking, and they said the same thing. I was hoping to ride. I was thinking the forecast was so good, 70 degrees, but since it was so windy, and when I decided to go out and ride, it was started to rain. I went Nordic walking later in the afternoon, so and even then I was blown over, especially heading south.
Yeah, it was rough out there, but it was a good ride. Lots of wind, lots of hills. Even found some mud puddles to drive the bike through. But it was a good day.
How many miles did you go?
We got in about 38 miles.
Oh, good. Well, it's no wonder you were done in. So, but I think you always say, you know, any day on the bike is a good day. So that's great.
That's true.
We thought with episode one, so that our listeners would know a little bit more about us, we thought we'd introduce ourselves in this episode of the Kansas Cyclist Podcast. So I'll go first. I am actually relatively new to cycling, as I used to run and participate in running races ever since I was in graduate school at the University of Michigan School of Public Health in the late 70s. And while I loved running, it was really to stay in shape for my Nordic or cross-country skiing, which I have been doing since undergraduate college days at Michigan State University. And as of this past February 2009, I was real proud to have completed my 30th Nordic Marathon, including 22 American Birkebeiner ski races, which are held in northern Wisconsin each year. And as part of the Berkey, as they call the race, I have also developed a podcast called Berkey Web Today, which is in addition to a website that was created about 11 years ago at www.berkeyweb.com. And two other fellow skiers, and I keep up that website and do the podcast. As far as cycling, I started seriously after I tore my medial meniscus in the Hospital Hill run here in Kansas City in June 2006. And after I had my right knee repaired through arthroscopic surgery and also listening to the advice of my physician friends, I decided that continuing to run was not going to do my knee any good. Fortunately, I found a wonderful bike community here in Kansas, and from that time forward have participated in a number of Johnson County Bike Club rides, including three century rides now. On Saturday mornings, I also lead and organize a ride called the Quivira Park Bike Ride, which rides from May through October with fellow cyclist Steve Mitchell. If you are interested in joining us, please join us as we push off from Quivira Park at 119th and Quivira in Overland Park, Kansas at 7 o'clock a.m. sharp. Information including a calendar with ride maps can be found on the web at Quivira, that's Quivira.ero.com. From a professional viewpoint, I have worked in the healthcare administration field with a number of different positions in Washington, D.C., Kalamazoo, Michigan, Durham, North Carolina, and now Kansas City. My specialty over the years has developed in the areas of air and ground critical care patient transport, and my current position is the CEO of MedServe Management Services, where we provide short and long-term contracts for air and ground patient transport systems around the country. I live in Overland Park with my wife, Carol, and youngest son, Jake, and Carol and I have four older children, Chris, Adam, Lauren, and Alex, who live in either Texas or Virginia.
Well, my background is in engineering, electronics engineering specifically. I worked for some local Kansas City area companies for about 20 years and developed products for industries such as avionics and railroads and fire detection systems. While I was working as an engineer during the day, I started working on my own in the evenings on my own projects. In the beginning, this was the early 90s, I wrote PC games, card games primarily, and sold them mail order. By the mid-90s, the internet had come along, and I eventually started developing websites. Most of these were built around games, card games, board games, arcade games, etc. By the early 2000s, these had begun to earn me a little bit of money, and by the mid-2000s, these really took off. Coincidentally, the company I was working for at the time was in the process of tanking, and when it eventually did go under, I took the opportunity to change careers and moved into full-time website development. And that's what I do now. I develop websites both for myself and for others. Of course, one of the side effects of a job like engineering or website development is that it's rather sedentary, and it's easy to gain weight over the years without realizing it. Eventually, I did realize it and decided to get back into shape and regain the fitness I'd had earlier in life. Cycling seemed like a natural fit for that. It doesn't require a lot of equipment. It's something that can be done alone or with a group and provides a great cardiovascular workout. Eventually, once I began cycling, the pounds did come off, and I think I eventually dropped something like 25 pounds and have kept that off pretty much for the last 5 years or so.
One thing else that we should tell our viewers is that Randy and I have been riding together. It's be close to 2 years now. We met on a ride and meeting a group of cyclists that were going from Washington State to Washington, D.C., and we rode together on that and then joined a Wednesday morning group that we ride. Rode with. So, and I can attest that Randy is in shape. He used to have a recumbent bike, or I guess you still have that, and you've moved now to a new bike now, too. I guess you have a number of bikes because you do road biking and other types. So tell us about your new bike.
Well, the new bike is a Surly Long Haul Trucker, and it is a touring bike. What I liked about it is that it will work equally well on the road or off-road. And I've taken it on paved roads, I've taken it on gravel roads, I've taken it on dirt roads, and I've taken it in the mud, and even a little bit of mountain biking. And I'm pleased to report that it has worked pretty well for all those applications.
Yeah, we were out on a ride a couple weeks ago, and I think, Randy, your bike, what is about 28, 30 pounds? Is that about right?
Something
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have it loaded up, too, but Randy's like a half a mile in front of, there's three of us that went out, and, you know, I've got a 16-pound bike, and it was hard keeping up with him, so it's been a lot of fun. Okay, let's go to news and information. Randy has a lot of information and an RSS feed on the Kansas Cyclist website. Randy, how about some highlights?
Okay, for our recap of bicycling news, we're going to start in Kansas and then work our way around the region. In Kansas, much of the recent news has revolved around projects related to federal stimulus funds. Although the Kansas Department of Transportation received 101 applications for transportation enhancement funding, they ended up selecting only 14 projects, which total around $11.4 million. Projects eligible for transportation enhancement funds included historic sites, scenic and environmental projects, and bicycle pedestrian projects. We're going to talk about the bike ped projects. The ones that received funding were a Prairie Spirit Trail lighting enhancement in Ottawa, a bike ped path in Lawrence, and a bike ped path in Mulvane. A 1.7-mile trail on the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation, a 1.3-mile extension of the Indian Creek Trail in Johnson County, and a pedestrian bridge over US 75 near Linden. In Topeka, a 78-year-old cyclist was critically injured on March 29th, struck by an SUV driven by a 17-year-old boy. Police reports that the bicyclist had the right of way, and we don't have any word on whether the driver was ticketed or will face any charges. In Wichita, the city is making progress on a new multi-use pathway that will connect several existing paths, improving the system as a whole and making it easier for people to get around the city by foot and bike. In Manhattan, the Riley County Police Department has launched a new uniform bicycle patrol unit, which will focus on community policing and crime prevention. It will consist of two uniformed bike operators who will patrol selected portions of Manhattan and will work on special projects in high crime areas. In addition to crime prevention efforts, they hope that the bike unit will be more visible and accessible to the public and will promote a more open relationship between the police and the public. And finally, in late February, the Coronado Heights landmark near Lindsborg in central Kansas caught on fire. And with the dried grasses and brush of late winter, most of the hill was quickly consumed. This area hosts a popular mountain bike trail, and the Central Kansas Mountain Bike Club reports that about 70% of the trail was within the burn area, and that while heavily treed portions survived, more open areas now resemble, according to one quote, riding on the surface of the moon. The club has subsequently worked to clear and restore the trails.
Randy, on the federal stimulus funds, so that was the money that came to the Kansas area then, is that correct?
That is the portion of the Kansas funds that are set aside for transportation enhancement.
Now, did that take some lobbying to get that?
Cities and municipalities submitted proposals to the Kansas Department of Transportation to what they wanted to spend money on, and KDOT selected a few projects.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
All right, moving on to neighboring states. In Arkansas, the Little Rock area seems to be gaining quite the reputation. David Holstead, organizer of the annual Tour du Rock race, said, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have believed it, but we're a biking destination now. People come here from out of town, and they know to bring their bike, and that reputation is going to continue to grow. The Big Dam Bridge, which is a bike ped bridge over the Arkansas River, has proven to be a big draw for the city, along with a growing network of paths and trails. In Conway, Arkansas, they've been active in attempting to make the city the first bicycle-friendly community in the state. The mayor has created a bicycle-friendly community task force, and one of the first results from that is a proposal for a bicycle master plan, which will be shared at the public meeting on April 7th. And then on April 14th, the task force will present a new bicycle action plan to the City Council. The big news from Colorado is the progress of a bicycle safety bill through the state legislature. The bill addresses a number of issues, including the minimum 3-foot passing distance, the allowance for motor vehicles to cross a doubled yellow line when passing a bike, clarifications on the position of bicycles within a traffic lane, and making it a misdemeanor to harass or throw something at a bicyclist. Despite opposition from the county sheriffs of Colorado, which had concerns about the enforceability of some of the measures, the bill passed the Colorado Senate. In the Colorado House, an amendment was added to the bill to limit riding 2 abreast, but the bill ultimately passed the House and is now back in committee to reconcile the differences between the House and Senate versions. There's no word on when the bill will make it out of committee, but Colorado bicycling advocates are hoping for a quick and positive resolution.
How does that compare, Randy, to other states? Is this one of the more innovative ones or in protecting cyclists?
I think it's actually fairly typical. Many states have passed minimum passing distance laws. The crossing on the double yellow line is something that is probably a little more unique. I know Missouri has talked about that, and other states as well.
I see.
Out of Iowa, the news has not been quite so positive. They had a similar bicycle safety bill that passed their Senate, but it was held up in their House. Like the Colorado bill, the Iowa version specified a minimum passing distance, which was 5 feet in this case, and required drivers to make sure that it was safe before opening a car door. It also clarified language regarding lane sharing and lane positioning. The bill also added a provision to allow cyclists to signal a right turn with their right arm and removed the requirement for overtaking vehicles to honk. Drivers would also have faced new penalties of $5 to $500 if a bicyclist was hurt, or $1,000 if a cyclist was killed. The bill currently appears all but dead for this session of legislature, and they'll probably need to take it up again next year. Also in Iowa, a judge handed down a sentence on a motorist who killed a bicyclist in 2007. Despite a guilty verdict, the judge sentenced the driver to a suspended sentence and unsupervised probation, along with a $2,000 fine and a 360-day suspension of his driver's license. In handing down the sentence, the judge cited a letter from the victim's mother saying she forgives the driver. Understandably, the bicycling community in Iowa was rather upset at the light sentence for a clear case of reckless driving that resulted in the death of a 21-year-old man.
It seems like time and time again we see things like this where clearly the motorist was driving recklessly and they get off with these very light sentences. I mean, if it was someone coming up and hitting somebody, it would be worse than if you hit someone with your car. It just doesn't make sense.
It's very frustrating, and it's very hard to understand in a lot of cases. In Missouri, the biggest news was the Missouri Bicycle Federation's attendance at the National Bicycle Summit, which was held in Washington, D.C. the second week of March. The state sent its largest delegation ever to the annual event, with over a dozen Missouri bicyclists visiting with their representatives and Senators Bond and McCaskill. Also in Missouri, the House Transportation Committee held a hearing on a complete streets bill that would require the Department of Transportation to provide full consideration for bicyclists, pedestrians, disabled people, and transit users in its plans, programs, and projects. As expected, MoDOT testified in opposition to the bill, but a number of bicycle groups, pedestrian groups, and people with disabilities testified in support of the bill. In Nebraska, they're having trail troubles. The Mopac Trail, connecting Lincoln and Omaha, is currently missing a 10-mile section, and local landowners are throwing up roadblocks. Essentially, they're saying that they're concerned about strangers passing near their property and that they may bring crime. Never mind that their property is already adjacent to public roads. Everyone knows criminals always choose to travel by the slowest means possible and wouldn't dream of using a car to commit such crimes. At least we can take comfort in knowing that Kansas isn't the only place where such short-sighted attitudes exist. In Oklahoma, things have largely been quiet. The biggest news coming from that state is probably preparations for the Oklahoma Freewheel, which is the annual week-long tour across the state from south to north. This year's ride takes place the second week of June, starting in Duncan near the Texas border and ending in Kiowa, Kansas a week later. To keep up with the latest bicycling news from Kansas and neighboring states, subscribe to the Kansas Cycling News at kansascyclist.com. You can subscribe using an RSS feed, reader, or email. And for even more news, follow Kansas Cyclist on Twitter at twitter.com/kansascyclist.
Well, lots of news, and some of it is a little depressing. But I'm glad there's advocacy groups in each state that are making a difference. So if you live in a state, do become involved.
Absolutely.
Okay, time for our upcoming ride section. There are many ride calendars that are all detailed at the Kansas Cyclist website. Randy, tell us about some interesting ones that are coming up.
In terms of recreational group rides, April really marks the start of the season, with a number of rides scheduled for the month. These are the Kansas rides. Saturday, April 11th, is the Cabin Fever Challenge in Pottawatomie County. This ride is a fundraiser for the Wamsag Man Trail, a multi-use trail that will connect the towns of Wamego, St. George, and Manhattan, and will connect up to Manhattan's Linear Trail, ultimately providing over 25 miles of trail for cyclists and pedestrians. The Cabin Fever Challenge offers three route options, 17 miles, 38 miles, and 55 miles. In addition to the ride itself, the event provides a pre-ride breakfast, fully stocked rest stops, SAG support, and complimentary sports massage. There's also a bicycle swap meet where you can find some great deals on bikes and gear, or find a new home for your own extra equipment. The ride begins and ends at Wamego High School. Breakfast and registration starts at 7:30, with the ride beginning at 8:30. Registration is $20 for the short ride and $30 for the longer routes. Saturday, April 18th, is the Spring Classic, an annual ride put on by the Johnson County Bike Club, offering 26, 46, and 70-mile routes that start and end in Lenexa, Kansas, and pass through communities of Lenexa, Bonner Springs, DeSoto, Gardner, Edgerton, and Olathe. This ride offers a nice mixture of suburban and rural riding, with well-stocked rest stops and SAG support. The ride begins and ends at 95th and Laureate in Lenexa, with registration opening at 7:30 and an 8 a.m. start time. The cost is $20 for JCBC or Kansas City Bike Club members, or $25 for non-members. If you'd like to join the bike club or renew your existing membership, the cost is $20 for individuals or $25 for families. And those are pre-registration prices, which are good through April 15th. Pricing the day of the ride is $5 more.
I have to tell you, this is a really fun ride, well-organized, another Johnson County Bike Club ride, so do come out if you're local here. I know I'm planning on participating in the 70-mile route. Are you going to ride in that one, Randy?
I believe I am. I have something going on later in the day, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to make the full 70, but I will probably do one of the shorter routes. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, April 19th, the Chisholm Trail bike ride goes out of Newton, Kansas, presented by the Newton Chisholm Trail Festival and the Continental Cyclery Bike Shop. They offer 30-mile and 60-mile route options, on paved secondary roads. The ride begins at the Walmart Supercenter in Newton. Registration opens at 7:30 and the ride begins at 8:30. Cost for this ride is $20 and you get a free t-shirt if you register by April 19th. 25th of April is the date for the Osage Prairie Bike Tour in Parsons, Kansas. You can experience the sights and sounds of spring in farming country where the prairie meets the Ozarks. You'll witness the land coming to life with spring in full bloom. There are 15, 40, and 70-mile routes to choose from, taking you through several southeastern Kansas towns, including Altamont, Bartlett, Edna, Mound Valley, Dennis, and Parsons. The ride begins and ends at Forest Park in Parsons at 8 a.m. Cost is $15 for the short route and $25 for the longer routes. And if you wait until after April 20th, that'll cost you $10 more. But if you pre-register, you will get a free t-shirt. This ride is sponsored by the Parsons Police Officers Association as a charity event to raise funds for local youth organizations. Elsewhere around the region, April 18th is the Tour de Tick in Neosho, Missouri, with a recreational ride on Saturday and mountain bike racing on Sunday. The dogwoods should be in bloom there, and there are 26, 62, and 100-mile options for the Saturday ride. April 24th is the Kick Your Butt Weekend in Wachita Mountains in southeastern Oklahoma. This is a three-day cycling camping event with rides on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with Saturday's 85-miler featuring a staggering 8,500 feet of climbing.
That sounds like a race that you would like, Randy.
That sounds fun, actually.
So that's mountain biking, then.
It's road biking.
Oh, it is?
But it's in the Wachita Mountains.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
Sounds a little brutal.
Yeah.
In Louisville, Nebraska, the Spring Fling ride takes place on April 25th in the scenic and historic Platte River Valley, with four route options up through a metric century. The racing schedule in Kansas and neighboring states include the Bonebender Endurance Mountain Bike on the 18th in Smithville, Missouri, the previously mentioned Tour de Tick on the 19th in Neosho, Missouri, and the God's Country Duathlon in Lawrence on the 25th.
Now, duathlon, that's biking and running? Or?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. In May, we're going to see a massive collections of rides and races, which we'll cover in the next podcast. And looking further ahead to June and July, we'll have touring season beginning with biking across Kansas, Border Raiders, the Oklahoma Freewheel, bicycle ride across Nebraska, Ride the Rockies, and the big one, Ragbri, among many others slated for the summer. Again, we'll cover those in future episodes.
And you've actually done the biking across Kansas, two times now? Is that right?
Yes, I've done it twice.
Uh-huh.
It's a great ride.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that. So Oklahoma has a ride. Now, you said north to south, and then
That's right. And
Nebraska has a ride across. I didn't realize that they had one. So
Nebraska actually has two. There's the Bicycle Ride Across Nebraska, which is, I believe, a week-long affair, and there's one called Tour de Nebraska, which is a shorter ride in southeastern part of the state.
I see.
For a complete listing of upcoming rides and races, visit the events section of Kansas Cyclist at kansascyclist.com. These listings will have more details on how to sign up for the events, with registration links and links back to the ride organizers' websites.
Yeah, Randy does just a fantastic job on the site. You get all the information that you need about any of these rides. And again, this is just a sampling of some of the upcoming ones. Okay. Okay, now it's time for new trails to try. Also on the Kansas Cyclist website are many links to riding trails in Kansas and adjoining states. Randy, are there any that you would like to detail for our listeners today?
Well, since this is our first podcast, let's start the way many bicyclists start, with a bike path. In this case, we'll talk about the Mill Creek Streamway in Johnson County. Of course, the term bike path is a bit of a misnomer. Like many such paths, the Mill Creek Streamway is a multi-use path and is popular with not only bicyclists, but walkers, runners, inline skaters, and moms pushing babies.
Don't forget roller skiers, too. Now, I've been out on that trail with my skis. Of course, I get looks like there's no snow out here, guy. But so I have skis with wheels
imagine.
On them.
Sounds fun. The Mill Creek Streamway is a linear park that offers over 17 miles of paved pathway following the course of historic Mill Creek through meadows and woods, passing seamlessly over and under crossing streets and roads to minimize traffic interaction. Since the trail follows the creek, it is mostly flat, but there are a few short but steep hills and a few longer climbs. The trail runs north and south, with the southernmost part in the city of Olathe and the northern end on Nelson Island in the Kansas River. The trail is managed and maintained by the Johnson County Parks and Recreation District, which offers 8 access points along the trail, each with parking, restrooms, and water fountains. With the weather starting to turn and the world starting to get green again, now is the perfect time to ride the Mill Creek Streamway. If you do, be careful of other trail users, and particularly dogs and children, which may move suddenly and unexpectedly, and seniors who may not be able to hear you coming and may be startled when you appear suddenly at their side. Slowing down to pass and a friendly on your left is always a good idea.
It's a great trail. I've been walking on it, roller skiing I like, and you're right about those hills. There's a couple doozies, especially on roller skis without brakes. It was fun going down those.
I can imagine.
Okay, now it's our listener feedback section, and since this is episode 1, we don't have any listener feedback on the podcast as yet, but Randy, is there any feedback that you would like to talk about from the website?
Most of the feedback I've received from people has been very positive. They seem to find the site to be informative and valuable, which is, of course, what I hoped for when I started the site. And we're hoping that people find the podcast useful as well. If you do or don't, we'd love to hear from you. Please write to podcast@kansascyclist.com and send in your comments or suggestions.
And that does help us improve things, because this is we want this to be a good resource for people about cycling in Kansas and surrounding areas. Since this is episode 1, I'm actually going to interview Randy and how he developed the Kansas Cyclist website, which I have personally found to be an absolutely wonderful resource for cyclists here in Kansas and neighboring states. Randy, what was the genesis and idea behind the Kansas Cyclist?
The idea for the site was born out of my own desire to find out more about cycling in our region. I'd found lots of websites where you could find out about trails or events, but they were all isolated. They might show information for one club or one city, but very little about what was going on elsewhere. I found no site where you could see a consolidated calendar of cycling events from all over the region. So building that comprehensive ride calendar and the accompanying resource directory of bike shops, bike clubs, advocacy groups, and trails became the central purpose of Kansas Cyclist.
And you can tell when you go, if you haven't been to the site yet, which I hope you do as soon as you are done listening to this podcast, or maybe even while you are listening, you can tell that Randy is an engineer by training, because it's set up very, very well and very comprehensive.
Once I built the site, I realized there was no easy way for people to keep up with bicycling news in the region. Again, there were isolated sites that covered specific topics or areas, but none that tried to cover everything. So that became another goal of the site. And incidentally, the site was originally conceived of as covering Kansas alone, hence the name Kansas Cyclist. But at some point I realized that we weren't an island, and we were interested in cycling news and opportunities in our neighboring states as well. For instance, those of us in the Kansas City area are very much interested in Missouri cycling. Those in western Kansas look to Colorado. Those in Wichita often travel to Oklahoma to ride, and so on. So I opened up the site to not only Kansas, but to Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. I think that's expanded the audience for the site and made it a more useful resource for the entire region. Another reason I started Kansas Cyclist was that I wanted to share all the great cycling opportunities that are available here. As I researched this site, I found so many new and exciting things, trails, rides, routes, parks, history, most of which I had no idea even existed. People tend to overlook the great things they have in their own backyards, and that's a shame. Kansas really does have a wealth of opportunity for cyclists, and I hope to help get the word out about that.
Randy has some good photographs, too, of different places that he has cycled to, and actually quite artsy photographs that are real good. Randy, when did you actually start the site? When did it first go up?
Well, I started building it in mid-2007, and it launched officially 1st of January in 2008.
I see. Have there been others that have helped you in the development of the site?
Not directly. I build and maintain the site on my own. But, of course, I've been inspired by other sites, both in our area and throughout the world. The Missouri Bicycle Federation site was one such inspiration. They do such a great job advocating for Bicyclists Missouri and provide a wealth of information on the state. Bike Portland was another important inspiration. They have such an amazing cycling culture there, and Bike Portland seems to be the focal point of that, the place where cyclists gather to get news and share the latest stories. I'm hoping we can build a cycling community like that here one day.
That'd be great.
You would.
You have so much information on the site, including rides, trail reports, general news, things that we've talked about in the podcast. How do you keep up with all this information?
Well, I monitor a lot of news feeds, a lot. I mean, something like 300 sites I monitor for cycling news.
My gosh.
Many of these are personal blogs, but some of these are news alerts through Google News. The main tool I use to keep up with all this is Google Reader. I just plug in the RSS feed for the site, and it'll let me know when the sites are updated. Then I can just scan headlines and see what needs to be looked at in more detail. The problem with that approach is some websites don't offer news feeds. This is frustrating because I don't have time to visit each one individually to see what's new, so whatever they have to say just doesn't get seen by me. So here's a hint for anyone out there running their website. If you want people to follow you, provide a news feed.
That'd be great. And you actually post that to Twitter too, right, which then can create the news feed.
That's right.
Yeah. One of the sections when I've explored the site that I found very helpful is called Resources. How do you catalog all this information? It includes bike shops, bike clubs, cycling organizations, and even personal websites. How did you find all this?
Well, it all starts with a web search. Go to Google, enter the right keywords, and you get a lot of information back. Of course, it took a while to compile all that and present it in a comprehensible format. But once the site was built, the resource directory doesn't take too much time to maintain. However, things change over time. Websites come and go, change focus, reorganize. So every once in a while, I have to go through the entire resource directory, which at this time is about 700 resources.
Wow.
and update listings. That takes a bit of time, but it doesn't happen all that often. And thankfully, people have begun to write and let me know about new resources or updates to old resources.
So you're actually getting some emails from people that if they have a ride or something that they want to make sure that it gets listed on the Kansas Cyclist?
I am, and that's a great help.
That's wonderful. I mentioned Twitter. Can you tell us how you obtain this news, and if our listeners are on Twitter, how they find the direct the feed for Twitter?
The news I post on Twitter comes from the blogs and news alerts that I monitor. When I see something that sounds interesting, I'll post it to Twitter. And increasingly, as Twitter usage increases, more of my news comes from Twitter itself. I use Twitter a little differently than some. I don't post personal items very often. Most of my Twitter usage is topic-based. I think it's a great little micro-blogging tool. I use it to get out news quicker than my news blog. I may only update my news blog a few times a week, but my Twitter feed is updated several times a day. It's a great resource for fresh news. To follow Kansas Cyclist on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/KansasCyclist. You don't even need to sign up for a Twitter account to follow me, since the updates are available as an RSS feed.
And a lot of people, I think, they think, oh, Twitter, that's, you know, I think people think of it in the personal mode, and you mentioned that. And I've been using some Twitter feeds myself, and they can be used for a real good purpose. And you don't have to get all of them on your phone either. You can have them just go to a website, the Twitter site itself, or there's some other sites now that you can accumulate feeds at. So don't be put off by Twitter. It actually is a good resource, and it creates its own news.
It does.
The other thing, of course, now that people are using is Facebook, and I know both of us are on that. Can you tell us a little bit about the page that you've created for the Kansas Cyclist on Facebook?
The Kansas Cyclist page on Facebook is fairly new, and I really haven't done much to promote it yet. But you can find it just by logging into your Facebook account and doing a search for Kansas Cyclist. The Facebook page is just another way for readers and now listeners to connect with Kansas Cyclist.
Now, you have the RSS feed built in there too, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, and so that's another place. If you are on Facebook, you can go to the site and pick up news and information there, as well as we'll catalog the podcasts. Randy, I know you're involved with a group called Can Bike Walk, and I'm sure we'll do a podcast on that, but can you tell us a little bit, maybe a little bit about that? And I know you're an officer of the organization too, correct?
That's right. Can Bike Walk is a nonprofit organization that advocates for bicyclist and pedestrian safety issues in Kansas. I think it's important that we speak with a united voice to our legislatures and community governments with regard to bike ped issues. The office I hold with the organization is as the webmaster. So many of our communities are being built with only one form of transportation, the personal automobile, in mind. For many years, we've seen other states improve their active transportation environments, making it safer and more convenient for people to get around by foot or bike, but that's one area where Kansas has lagged. And I'm hoping that Can Bike Walk can be a voice to really help our communities. That's why I got involved. I run their website, and why I encourage everyone to get involved. CanBikeWalk.com is the website address, and please check it out and consider joining. Your membership in Can Bike Walk can really make a big difference.
And I know you had a special, it was the end of last year, right, if you donated. I know I did, because I was doing my taxes and noticed that I, you know, made a contribution to Can Bike Walk.
Yeah, we had a great support from the Johnson County Bike Club. They did a 100% match up to $1,000. So we made the goal and more.
That's wonderful. For those of you out there that are tech oriented, I wanted Randy to talk a little bit about the software he's using to what he's done to develop the site. You know, Randy, how is it to easy to update, because I know there's new content going on to your site all the time?
Well, the majority of the site is something that I hand-coded from the ground up. It's built on the PHP programming language with a MySQL database backend. I wrote a custom administrative interface, which allows me to edit the resources and add new features. The news section of the site uses the open source WordPress blogging tool with a custom theme to make it blend in with the rest of the site.
Yeah, that's when Randy and I came up with the idea of doing podcasts. We had met over some coffee, in my case tea, and he wanted to show me WordPress and see how it could I could use it in some of my sites, and I was showing him some stuff I was doing with podcasting. So the site is very, very well done from a technical standpoint too, as you would expect from an engineer, of course. Randy, thanks so much for explaining this great resource for cyclists here in the Heartland. We really appreciate the work that you do really every day and keeping this up.
You're welcome. Hope everyone enjoys the site and finds it valuable. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the news feed. It's easy and it's free, and there are instructions for doing so on the site. Also, don't forget about the Twitter feed, which I also think you're going to find useful. Again, instructions and links are on the site at kansascyclist.com.
And the new thing that we'll have now is podcasts. So that will also be on there and a way to download and subscribe to future podcasts. So
that's right.
Well, everyone, take care. We will see you the next time. We appreciate you downloading episode 1 of the Kansas Cyclist podcast, and we do hope that you will subscribe to our podcast so that you will not miss future episodes. We have a lot of interesting news and information, as well as interviews that we have planned for future episodes, so please come back. Also, please leave your feedback by writing to podcast@kansascyclist.com. Take care and cycle safe.